Good morning and a very warm welcome to this service of worship coming to you from the community of St Andrew's and St George's West Church in Edinburgh on this, the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. This past week, the moderator of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland, the Right Reverend Dr. Martin Fair, led church members across Scotland and beyond in a week of prayer. Our prayers continue today for both church and country. Our worship continues today, for we believe in a God who, in the moderator's words, has both map and compass, a God who knows the way and a God who will lead us in the right way. So welcome to this service of worship wherever you are on your journey. You will find the order of service on our website. My name is Rosie McGee, I'm the minister, and leading our opening prayer is Joanna Stark. Mary Davidson reads the scriptures. Our prayers of intercession are led by Jocelyn and Michael Cunliffe. The vocal ensemble comprises Eleanor Wilson, Caitlin McGillivray, Drew Crichton and Andrew Carville. Piano accompaniment is by Drew Crichton and the service is produced by Andrew Carville. From the comfort of our homes, we gather to worship. Whether through printed word or through the gift of technology, we are a community. Here we seek connection to the divine. Come, let us worship God, shown to us through the risen Christ. I invite you to join in our responsive call to worship. Jesus is the King of Kings. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Wonderful Counselor. Jesus is our Lord and Saviour. We gather here to worship God, the Father of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, our guide. Jesus is the King of Kings. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Wonderful Counselor. Let us offer our worship to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we join together in worshipping God through the singing of our first hymn, You are before me, God, you are behind.
Loving God, we do not always see you. We may not always hear you. We might not always know it, but you are always there. You send your message to us. You speak to us in so many ways, through Jesus, through our friends and family, through our senses and our dreams. We might not always know it, but you are always there. You've called each of us by name. You have shown your love for us in so many ways. Through Jesus, through our friends and family, through our world and our emotions. We might not always know it, but you are always there. We come to you as we are, in awe of your majesty and mercy, and we lay at your feet our whole being. We remember that we, your church, are built on a solid foundation of rock, and through your love, we will never fall, emboldened to love our neighbours as ourselves, and to preach your holy word to the world. We gather as one body of broken bones, seeking to do your work, praying for forgiveness when we fail to live as you have told us, asking for support when we falter from the path of love for all. We ask for boldness to live in your example, to give ourselves wholly to your mission, and work tirelessly to praise you and love your people. Amen.
Our reading from the Old Testament is Psalm 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when our enemies attacked us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away, the torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Our New Testament reading is taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah.
Thank you.
you say that I am? I wonder how Simon Peter felt when Jesus asked that question point blank. Who do you say that I am? It comes somewhat out of the blue. Much of the disciples' time was spent watching Jesus in action rather than debating who he was. They saw him heal people. They listened to his parables, witnessed him standing up to the authorities. They noticed how Jesus tended to pay a great deal of attention to those who typically captured no one's attention. And the way they answered Jesus' question shows they have also been paying attention to the word on the street. Different people saw different things in Jesus. Who do others say you are? That's easy. We've collected a whole list. But Jesus follows up by asking, who do you say that I am? He wants to hear from the disciples in particular, rather than the crowds in general. I wonder if Simon Peter stammered in his mind as he tried to figure out how to respond. Barbara Brown Taylor comments that it is at times like this when we wish Scripture was like the script of a play that tells us what happens while nothing is being said, when we wish that stage directions were included in the text. Something like, after Jesus asks the second question, the disciples become noticeably uncomfortable. Their feet shift nervously. No one makes eye contact, clearly trying to melt in the background. These kind of hints would be fantastic, but Scripture tends to leave that up to our imaginations and the movement of the Spirit. What we do have is Matthew recording Peter respond in a clear voice with a very creedal-sounding affirmation. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now, if you have ever doubted that faith is a gift of God's grace, given the way that Peter was always bumbling his way through discipleship, the clarity of his words could only have been the result of God's work in him. Jesus knows it. Telling Peter that he is blessed because God the Father has spoken through him. Now, Peter will go on to completely misunderstand what it means for Jesus to be the Messiah. But for now, this is his shining moment. As he says the words, Peter knows that who he trusts Jesus to be is intended to shape every aspect of his life. So what about you? Who do you say Jesus is? I don't mean in general, but in particular. I don't ask this so that you can think of all the issues you may have with the church's confessions of faith through the centuries, or to send you on a guilt trip as to how your actions don't always reflect that you are a follower of Christ. Rather, I ask so that we can focus in on those moments when, through grace, Jesus is revealed to us in a new way, in a shining moment. Like it did with Peter that day, our response to Jesus' question matters, not because it changes God's opinion of us, but because it changes us. Who we say Jesus is not just about theological words and creeds, but about the way we go about being siblings and parents, friends and church community, the ways we prioritize our time, our energy and resources, the ways we respond to those upset with us and those with whom we struggle as much as those we find easy to love. Because when it comes down to it, what we believe, what we trust about Jesus, they're not simply words of praise to God, but rather they are words of power, words to transform us. It will change the way we see the world if we see that through Jesus, God's heart aches with all those who suffer. desires healing for those who are sick in body or in mind, demands justice for those who are left out or caught up in unjust systems. It will change how we see ourselves if we see that through Jesus, God is always, always more than ready to welcome us home like an adoring parent whenever we wander away or even deny God's presence like Peter himself did. And if Jesus' life and death show us how much God loves us, how deeply God desires to be in relationship with us, then Jesus' resurrection shows us that God's love is more powerful than hate or fear and even death. If we see Jesus in these ways, we know that Jesus came to show us what is possible, especially when things feel at their most impossible. I don't believe that Jesus asks us to confess who we believe he is for his sake, but rather for ours, that we might be caught up in the power of his love and life and new life. The confessions we offer about Jesus in church and in our daily lives aren't because God needs affirmation, but rather because they are words of power that help root us in the love and possibility that Jesus offers us going forward. Knowing who Jesus is for us is like having keys which let us into places which have been barred to us. Keys to freedom and to hope and to a future. There's so much going on in the world and in our community right now as a result of COVID-19 that needs our effort and work and passion and commitment. We know that there is so much more to do than we seem able to do, and that even our best efforts and most heartfelt attempts will fall short and we can feel confused or anxious. And yet, there are moments when we confess and when we perceive more of God's purpose than previously, when things come together, if only briefly, and when we sense God's Spirit at work in us and among us. And at those shining moments, it makes sense to pause and pay attention. So we might look around our communities and see what is going right. Notice and name where God is at work. Lift up and celebrate and give thanks for those things where we sense God's presence most fully. Amidst the challenges and pain of COVID-19, it's important to take notice of new developments within our church family, in the ways we communicate, in our online presence, in reimagining ways to reach out and care for one another, in new forms of prayer and worship life, and new relationships with our neighbours. Seeing what is going right is empowering and opens us up to what God will do with us and for us and through us next. For have no doubt that, just like Peter, God is at work in us and through us, touching lives beyond our reckoning. Who we, as St. Andrew's and St. George's West say Jesus is, gives us our primary identity as his followers. Who we say Jesus is shapes who we are in particular ways. Our collective response could shape this city's life in ways we are not even able to imagine right now. So for this time and in this place, may we continue to look to God to guide us as we live into the answers together. Who do you say that I am? Amen. Thank you.
gracious God, in love you created us. So it is with confidence that we bring our prayers to you. In prayer, we seek to turn the keys of faith, hope, and love, the keys that open the door of your kingdom.
We pray for those who feel they have had doors shut in their faces by others, those who live in fear of losing their homes, those who are bullied for being different, and those who feel unfairly treated by the education system. We pray for those who are so often overlooked and undervalued, and for those picking up the pieces after they feel their lives have tumbled in. May they experience doors being opened to them, for you are a Lord who stands with the powerless and the insignificant. Gracious God, hear our prayer,
and in your love, answer. We pray for those around us, for the many who continue to suffer because of the pandemic, and those who care for them. We pray for family and friends who are suffering, those struggling physically or emotionally, those working to overcome mental illness, those facing challenges at home or at work, those facing surgery or grieving the death of a loved one. Gracious God, hear our prayer,
and in your love, answer. God, you have called us to pray for those we find difficult to love. We ask you to bless them. Open our hearts so that we may see them as you see them and be able to respond to them with your love. Gracious God, hear our prayer,
and in your love, answer. We pray for your church around the world, that it would be a living demonstration of your coming kingdom, turning the key of open hospitality, ready to help in times of need, showing love to friends and enemies alike, seeking to live in peace with all. Gracious God, hear our prayer,
and in your love, answer. Open our eyes to recognize your presence in our lives. Open our mouths to tell others what you mean to us. We bind our prayers together in the prayer that Jesus taught.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come.
Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
As we journey into the week ahead, receive these words of sending and blessing. May we be like Peter, and tell the world who you are. And when we forget or cannot see you, ask others to show us who you are. May we live out our faith in word, in action, and in love, knowing the love of God the Father, strengthened through knowing the risen Son, and inspired by the Holy Spirit, in this place, at this time, and always. Amen. Oh.